pitch the ball to Bell. That's upfield. 40, 45, 50, 45, 40. He's in the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Cowboys. What a run.
Kicks it left wing, Lucas. Three-point jumper. Good. 6 seconds. No! Rebound! Cowboys win! Cowboys win! Oh, the Cowboys are going to the Final Four! Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
Welcome back to the Pistol Cast. We have Q back on today to talk a little bit about the Arizona game. We discuss his favorite Big 12 player. That's Mr. Garrett Gilbert down in Austin. And he breaks down Tulsa for us, got his undergraduate degree from there, and he gives us the lowdown on the Golden Hurricane. Let's go to the podcast. Okay, Matt Quaid, welcome back to the podcast. We're like setting records for having you on for a number of times in a month, I think.
Well, I mean, not dating back to last spring when we were talking hoops, you know, Jimmer Madness and all those kinds of things. But
do you think hoops is your forte? I mean, is that like your...
I mean, if I have a forte, it probably would be hoops, but
just breaking stuff down.
Yeah, but you know, I'm on the floor. Don't forget that. I'm sure everybody will be looking forward to that. You know, come basketball season, but you know, during football season, I'm between the hash marks. I'm ready to go.
Okay. So. Did you see the picture of LeBron?
I didn't
at the football game on Thursday.
Where was this? Was this in the bullets this morning?
Or? No, it's in the I posted it at a weird time last week, but it's in the Thursday night in photos.
Okay,
post.
I'm trying to track it down right now.
Yeah, I think it's still on the front page, but there's a photo of LeBron, and there's a picture of CJ Guerrero.
Okay.
In the background, and he looks like he's like 3 foot tall. I don't know if
I'm tracking him down right now. I was stuck on the Justin Blackman, Jen Brown picture for a second.
Yeah. It's right below that, right below the Mahan picture.
Okay. Well, I'm clicking open the, I'm now stuck on the Hunter Mahan picture, 'cause that's just phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. The LeBron picture. The dude behind LeBron isn't the 7 foot Czech dude, is it?
Well, I hope not. But the guy behind whoever that guy is, like against the wall.
Yeah, with his shirt lifted up.
Yeah, that's a Guerrero. And he looks he looks like he's 10.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I was having to ask who you're talking about, just to make sure. Wow. Well, not to mention the guy in the khaki shorts with the tucked in polo to LeBron's right looks like he's got the Oregon State logo on. I realize he doesn't. He has the same polo as LeBron on, but it's close. It's questionable.
Yeah, that guy's got to be a manager, right? I mean, that's not a.
Yeah, I don't. That's got to be a manager, or some kind of student assistant or something. And this is a phenomenal post by you, by the way. I don't know how I happen to miss this one. I usually am all over the pistols firing posts. I apologize for missing this one.
Yeah, I think actually Bones, your dad, commented on it, I believe.
Did he? Let me check that out.
I think he was the first comment, actually, hitting up the Jim Brown post.
Yeah, yeah. Who is the first best-looking sideline reporter of Jim Brown as a second? Well, I mean, I don't know if Bones is aware of someone named Aaron Andrews or not, but maybe we need to make him aware. But yeah, that Hunter Mahan picture is phenomenal.
Yeah, really cool. Okay, well, I do want to talk about Thursday night.
Okay.
The Arizona game. We talked about it a little bit, not on the podcast, but just back and forth. Is Arizona, I mean, are they even going to finish with a winning record, do we think?
Gosh, I think they'll finish with a winning record, but it's like we talked about last week. I mean, you could look at them being 1-4. I mean, I don't think that's out of the question by any means for them to be 1-4. But I think they'll finish with a winning record. I think there's enough winnable games out there in Pac-12 for them to get to 7 wins. Do you not?
I think they're going to go 6-6 at best. They will be 1-4. They're not beating Stanford. They're not beating Oregon. And
yeah.
I don't think they're going to beat SC because I'm pretty sure that game's in LA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously, I think they're better than Washington State and Oregon State and teams like that, but I don't know. They didn't really impress me that much.
Yeah. Well, and it's possible they go to Oregon State and lose. I mean, that's a road game. Conference road games are tough, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's no question. They could be in trouble getting to 500 and then passing it.
So the fact that they were, you know, questioning whether or not they're even a bowl team, does that lessen how good OSU looked on Thursday?
I don't think it does. I think you can. I don't think you can withhold judgment or make a statement like that till more of the season is played out. I mean, let Arizona play USC and Arizona State and Oregon State on the road and Washington on the road and see how they, you know, see how they fare in some of those games before you start saying they're not a good team. You can't just assume they're going to lose all these games and say, oh, well, it lessens OSU's win. I don't think that's fair to OSU or to Arizona. I think that people are really high on Nick Foles. And you know, to his credit, I know I'm kind of critical of him just because Kirk Herbstreit is in love with him, and I'm not in love with Kirk Herbstreit. But but Foles has good stats through two games, and you know, he's putting up some numbers, and so I think that there's a you know, solid team there. I just think they've got a pretty tough schedule, really.
Yeah, they do. And without Kreiner, I guess he might be back this weekend. I don't know. I'm not reading up on the Arizona beat writer this week like I was last week. But, yeah, I mean, I just felt like OSU, it's funny because, and I was talking about this with Anthony Slater the other day, OSU looked so much better on Thursday night, and yet they scored like exactly half the points that they did on against Louisiana.
Right.
I guess that's just a function of
playing. Well, I think it's a function of the competition. I mean, Arizona defensively is obviously – you know, well, I say obviously, but assumedly, we assume that they're better.
Assumedly?
Assumedly they're better than, you know, than Louisiana in terms of their defensive prowess. So, you know, clearly we don't have as many points. That's between the hash marks coverage.
That is
right there.
A next level breakdown. Well, as some of the readers probably know, you and I and a few of the other Pistols Firing contributors are participating weekly in a 12-game parlay college football gambling thing. I don't know what we're officially calling it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're only putting a dollar on something, is that really gambling? I don't
know.
Yeah,
it's cheap entertainment is what it is.
It's pretty easy for me to find four quarters on the ground in a week. So say that's... To say that that's gambling is a little bit of a stretch, but yeah.
But it does pay out $900
if you get all 12 games right.
Yeah, correct. So if you get all 12 games right, and I think we're idiots for doing it because I think we're basically throwing away a dollar every week.
However, this last week we went 9-3. And
we
so
did.
Now we're plus $2 on the year after 2 weeks.
Yeah, because it pays out. So if you get all 12, it pays out $900. If you get 11, it pays out what is it, 80?
I think 90.
90. If you get 10, it pays out, I don't know, whatever, 40 or 30.
Yeah.
And then if you get 9, which we got, it pays out $3.
Yeah. So.
But we missed. I want to talk about the games we missed. We missed Ohio State against Toledo.
Right.
We had Ohio State, obviously. We missed Oregon, Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And we missed.
We took Nevada.
Yeah, we took Nevada. And we missed. What was the other one we missed?
We missed the Texas BYU game. We took Texas.
Yeah, Texas is – they're brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, they're – okay. They're better than last year, but what is that really saying, you know?
Yeah, it's not a good situation down in Austin by any means. They seem to just kind of be in disarray. Like, they don't know what to do. And, yeah, so that was frustrating. I don't want to throw out names or toss people under the bus, but that was a game I wasn't real confident in and didn't really want to have it in our list of 12, but it got in there and I kind of said, yeah, it's fine. And so, you know,
well,
again,
Texas should be able to beat BYU by 7 points at home.
You would think, but you know, again, I was ready to take BYU in that one, and And, you know, if you guys would have listened to me, we would have been one step closer, but that's
and
okay.
And we never should have bet on the Oregon game. That was stupid. We're riding high on Colin Kaepernick's career at Nevada.
True, I guess Nevada's probably down quite a bit, compared to where they were last year, and Oregon coming back home after a tough loss, and, you know, knowing that if they run the table, they still got a chance, depending on what happens in front of them, they're going to, you know, prove something, and that was probably a bad pick, but you thought that was a really large spread, and you thought, you know, sometimes those large spreads, even if you're at home, they're tough to cover. I mean, for whatever reason, guys let up. You know, they take marquee offensive players out in the late stages of blowouts, and you know they've got second and third team defensive guys in there, and so there's a lot of factors at play there, and so it's tough to be confident in those big spreads unless you've got Andrew Luck in his big hands. he doesn't lose big spreads.
Which, by the way, I was watching the Rams yesterday.
Yeah,
and Bradford, I swear, has bigger hands than Andrew Luck.
He probably does. The Luck hands issue with me is maybe more of an illusion than anything else. I just can't wrap my mind around how big his hands are. It seems like in every picture when he's holding that football, it just looks like, you know, it looks like a mini football to the average, you know, human.
I can't believe we continue to harp on this topic, or you continue to go back to this topic, right? Really.
And just on a side note real quick, as you mentioned watching Sam Bradford and the Rams, you know, I hope OU fans out there are happy on Sundays. I hope they're content because the rest of Oklahoma, you know, is saddled with watching the Rams and the Vikings every week. So I hope you enjoy that. I hope you relish it because I'm miserable. And I think every other Cowboy fan in the state is miserable because there's plenty of other good games out there that one might want to watch, such as, you know, the Falcons and the Bears. Is that a better game than the Rams and the Eagles yesterday? Yeah, I think it is. So, you know, I just want to implore, you know, people to, you know, send an email, make a call to Fox 25 in Oklahoma City and just say, you know, why don't you give us a chance to vote? I know some cities around the country, if they don't have a marquee NFL team in their city or close in their region, they allow them to vote on the games they want to see. You know, why not do that here? Why not employ that tactic and not just assume we all want to see Sam the Ram and...
Is that what they call him?
Yeah, they're calling him that now.
Sam the Ram?
Yeah, and AD. I mean, let's mix it up a little bit.
Well, you know?
I don't even dislike either of those guys necessarily, but it's just annoying.
Well, I thought they were showing those games. Rams. I thought they were showing the Rams because of Billy Vajima and the Vikings because of Charlie Johnson. Is that not right?
Well, I mean, maybe so. Maybe I shouldn't complain. Maybe I should look at the positive and realize that OSU's got, you know, their fair share of guys in the league. How about Billy Badgema, by the way, just making it happen? I played high school baseball against him when he was at Westmore, and he's lasted in the league. I mean, he's made a nice little career for himself.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of odds could you have gotten? Somebody tweeted this. I think it was Carson Cunningham yesterday. What kind of odds could you have gotten on Billy Badgema lasting longer in the NFL than Tatum Bell and Rashawn Woods combined?
Yeah, I mean, that's insane. So anyway, I took us way off tangent.
Did you see Dez last night?
I saw the highlight of the touchdown catch. I didn't see any other highlights because, you know, in typical ESPN fashion, they want to show you four highlights and then analyze it and break it down with all their different people so you don't get to see any of the highlights. So I just saw the touchdown catch, which was phenomenal.
Yeah, he got put on Rebus Island after the TD over Cromartie.
Yeah.
And I don't think he had any catches after the first quarter.
But he had like 3 for 70-something at the end of the first quarter, right?
I think that's what he ended with.
Okay.
Yeah, and a touchdown.
It's fun to see him in that role, like where people, I mean, where he's, I just hope he continues to progress because it'd be really cool to have a skill guy from OSU, you know, excelling. We've done a great job of having, you know, linemen and those kinds of, you know, some secondary guys. But it'd be cool to have an offensive skill guy really making a name for himself in the league.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of skill guys, something Texas is struggling with right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my favorite non-OSU Big 12 guy is just not getting it done down there in Texas. Garrett Gilbert, he is just.
Oh, he's I don't. He might be a Division III quarterback. We don't know. Going into the year, I think we were a little scared of going to Austin and going to Columbia, in addition to obviously A&M, OU, and Tech. Are we still worried about going to play at Texas and at Missouri?
I'm feeling less so about Texas just because they've I guess they separated themselves from Rice a little bit in week one, but the way they played against BYU, you know, if you kind of combine the two efforts as a whole, I'm feeling more confident about the game in Austin, than I was at the beginning of the year. Not that I was nervous or expecting a loss. I mean, as many of you will remember, I predicted an undefeated season for the Cowboys, but, I am more confident in the game in Austin. The Missouri game, I'm still at the same spot. I'm still really nervous about it, especially if we're able to get to that point undefeated. I think it's a huge, you know, potential trap game where you're coming off a big win against Texas and you're going, okay, if we get this Missouri one, there's not much in between us and OU. And just be really easy to look past it and start thinking about Bourbon Street and beaded necklaces. And I just, the Missouri game, still, I'm still at that point, I'm nervous. So until Missouri drops another one that makes me kind of doubt them, I'm still nervous about that one.
I don't want to see you in a beaded necklace ever.
Well, I think you may not want to see me in one, but you probably definitely don't want to see what I'm willing to do to get one.
We need to end this podcast.
I'm kidding.
Nolan texted me on Saturday. He went to the, for those of you who can't see, we're on video Skype right now. And Q is, flexing his muscles at me via webcam. And I don't know why or what he's doing, but I just thought everybody should know that. Yeah. Anyway. Nolan texted me on Saturday night. He went to the Texas BYU game. He said their fans were already talking about how we are going to murder them in Austin.
Really?
Yeah, they no confidence. He said they couldn't even complete a pass over like 15 yards. The longest pass that they completed was by Shipley. I think it was like a fake. I don't know what it was, but they're just not good. Yeah. I don't get it, but they're just not.
Well, in that case, I think the goal for most OSU fans is to hope that, you know, they lose in California this weekend at UCLA. They obviously lose the OU game. Maybe they even lose in Ames, and maybe they're 2-3, and maybe the price of tickets for that tilt with the Cowboys goes way down, so that we can invade Austin with America's true orange.
Well, I think it's brightest orange. But
right, you're right. I'm sorry.
Did you see the ticket scenario in College Station? What happened? What happened with that?
I did not.
Ubbin wrote a post on it, and it showed the number of tickets that have been sold to each opponent, I guess, for the Big 12 schedule. Mm-hmm. And Kansas had outsold OSU by like 500 tickets or something.
Really?
To go to A&M.
Wow.
How is that? How does that happen?
I don't know. Maybe that's what the department. I can't think of an explanation. I'm not even going to try and come up with one. I don't get that. That's weird.
I know. We can't let that happen.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of OSU people down there. I mean, College Station is close enough, and given the fact that this is probably the last game with Texas A&M for who knows how long, I think there'll be a lot of OSU people down there for that one.
Yeah. Oh, I can't. It's gonna be awesome. We got Tulsa first, but speaking of Tulsa, mm-hmm. you're an avid follower, a graduate, even
an alumni, an alumnus of the University of Tulsa. Yes.
Any chance the Golden Hurricane beat OSU this weekend?
I mean, anytime two teams that are, you know, anytime two teams that are just playing football that are at the same level, I mean, there's always a chance.
Where are you going with this?
I don't know. I was, you know, Appalachian State beat Michigan, so yes, there's a chance. And I'm not even trying to compare the two. I'm saying, you know, the point is I don't want to be one of those people, and I don't want Pistols Firing Blog to ever be one of those, you know, media outlets or sources that just like looks past things like they do on the Sports Animal and just discounts, you know, potential roadblocks to something. So to just act like, you know, it's a done deal, OSU is going to be 3-0, and act like, you know, there's no way they could lose that game. I don't want to be that way. I think it's dumb for anybody to be that way. because anytime two teams are playing, they could lose. And even more so given the fact that Tulsa's, you know, coming off of a 10-win season in a bowl game with a lot of people back. Granted, their biggest skill person is not back. Damaris Johnson would have been, but he was getting the Peter Warwick treatment at Macy's with his girlfriend. And that just means he was getting lots of clothes for a very, very little amount of money. So without him, it's tough, but I'd probably put the percentage chance of a Tulsa win at, like, I don't know, 15%. I don't think it's, you know, considerably out of the question. I don't think it's the kind of deal where it's a, you know, where it's a North Texas kind of team. I mean, Tulsa is a good team. They've got good players, and they played okay in Norman. They played better in Norman this year than they did 2 years ago. So I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not going to write this game off. I felt this way going into the Arizona game. I just had a ton of confidence that OSU was going to win that game. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way about Tulsa. This team is so much different than, and I've said it a million times, but it's so much different than the 09 team that lost to Houston. I just do not see that happening, you know?
Right. I agree. And I'd feel, I mean, I don't know if this gives anybody what this makes people think, but I say 15% for Tulsa. If it was in Stillwater, I'd say like 5%. I mean, I think, you know, the reason I even put it at 15 is just because it's in Tulsa. And I know that Tulsa doesn't have a huge home field advantage by any means, and there'll probably be a ton of people in orange there. But, you know, just the fact that it's not being played in front of 60,000 people in orange, I think helps them just a little bit in terms of being able to run offense and those kinds of things. So, you know, all in all, if I had to give a prediction, I think OSU's going to win.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Speaking of games this weekend, I did want to get your take on the OU Florida State game.
I think OU's better than Florida State. I just don't get the love for Florida State necessarily yet. Like, I don't feel like I've seen them win any big games with this group of people, or I just don't feel like I have a reason to believe that they're all that great. And I realize it's on the road, and that's a really tough place to play, and OU hasn't been great on the road with this core, with this nucleus, but I think OU's going to beat them.
Yeah, I do too. I don't know that I'm bought into EJ Manuel yet. I don't know. OU's been there. They've been in this kind of big game. I don't know that Florida State has as a top 10 team.
Mm-hmm.
Of late, obviously, right. They have in their history, but I don't see Florida State winning that game.
Yeah, I just don't. Yeah, I don't either.
So, I'll give you the option here because I know we both need to go, but do you want to talk about realignment right now, or are we just wait until later?
Oh, the thing I don't get about realignment, and I'll address it just real quickly. I'm tired of hearing about it, one. I know you are, too. I mean, you've alluded to it in your bullets, and you've alluded to it in tweets and that kind of thing. It's just – it's getting really old to even hear about it. I just don't want to keep – all the speculation, and everybody can throw out, you know, whatever speculation they want, right? And it doesn't – what does it really mean? I mean, it's just pure speculation. So I'm just tired of hearing all the speculation. The thing that I don't get is the news that was broke today by Chip Brown, which I didn't even know about till, you know, 5 minutes before this podcast was going to happen, that OU plans to apply for an application or submit an application for membership to the Pac-12. I don't get all the posturing and the stuff that goes on. I mean, their commissioner clearly stated last week that they're not looking to expand. Yet, you know, presumably OU and then us is going to, apply to be in the Pac-12. And then I have no reason to think why, you know, it'll just happen. Same thing with the A&M SEC deal. You know, 2 months ago, SEC votes to not take A&M, but then A&M pulls themselves from the Big 12, and then the SEC votes to take them in. I think it's all a big fun house, and it's just, you know.
A fun house.
It's like one of those fun houses on the movie Grease where it's weird mirrors and you just go around and the floors are uneven and they bounce up and down and there's clowns. It's ridiculous.
Oh, there are definitely clowns involved, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So anyway, that's my take for now on realignment. I'd rather just not really talk about it a lot until there's more hard concrete evidence as to what's going to happen.
Well, that's just, I mean, you touched on it a little bit, but I felt like A&M, I felt like it was like, okay, we're going to wait. It's going to take some time. There's legal issue. And then boom, they're in the SEC.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it was like, well, what happened to all this time that you needed and these legal issues that needed to get worked out, which apparently it just created more legal issues. But
I don't know.
I feel like what actually goes on is very different than what is reported that goes on.
Right. I agree.
And I'm not saying that Chip Brown is wrong or that he's lying. I don't know Chip Brown, whatever. I just think that everything that everybody is reporting could change. I mean, obviously could change from today to tomorrow to the next. I mean, it's just, why even get emotionally invested until the thing plays out?
Exactly. That's the part that's really brutal.
So, you know, if we go to the Pac-12, I'll be excited. If we don't, I'll be fine with it. I don't care.
And that's the thing. It's like football's going on right now. Let's quit letting all the realignment talk ruin all the good football that's going on. I don't want to muddy down what is, you know, currently a really fun OSU season and what hopefully, you know, is a season that surpasses all of our expectations by talking about what conference we might be in. Let's deal with that, you know, mid-January when it's all over, when we've got nothing else to talk about college football wise.
Yeah, I agree. Did you see my Badgers on Saturday?
You're loving your Badgers, man. I think, you know, if your birthday was coming up, I'd find a way to get you some kind of Wisconsin gear because, I mean, I think you're in love. But yeah,
teach me how to Bucky.
They're solid. I mean, and I like Wisconsin football. I think they're fun to watch. And, you know, if OSU can't win the title, I'm pulling for Wisconsin. That would be a fun story to me.
See, I go Boise first and then Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah, I love them. I think they're awesome. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's wrap it up. Appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely.
We'll do it again next week. Are we calling it Between the Hash Marks with Q?
You know, or we could say From the Right Hash with Q, or
From the Right. Is that where you like to line it up?
That's where I like to line it up. Yeah. I kick right to left. So.
Okay. Okay. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good one.
Bye.